So my first full-time ministry was in the, it began in the summer of 1986. It was in Madisonville, Kentucky, a little church called Bethlehem Christian Church. I was 7 years old, but I'm just kidding. In 1986, I was married to Gail. I was about to turn 22, and I had just graduated from Cincinnati Christian University. Now, in that little country church, we had an elderly woman named Dolores. And Dolores liked to say, "My generation has gone from horse and buggy to the moon." And she was so proud of that, from horse and buggy to the moon. You know, for most of my life, I would have said that there will never be a more dramatic shift than the one that she lived through. It's mind-boggling to think about, from about 1900 to about 1970, from horse and buggy to the moon. And I kind of always assumed that a shift like that would never be seen again in a single generation. But I'm not so sure of that anymore. I heard somebody say one time that the winds of change have given way to earthquakes of change. It took us thousands of years to go from horse to cars, a few decades to go from cars to space travel. And the changes that we see today in technology, in communication, in travel, space exploration, science, medicine, I mean, it just kind of boggles your mind. You know, because photography is my thing, I was thinking this week about the first time I ever saw a digital camera. I've shot a lot of film back in the day, but all that's changed now. Sometime in the 1990s, Gail and I had our kids. We were in a park in Columbus, Indiana, and we were sledding. And there was a photographer there from the newspaper, and he happened to click some pictures. It got Gail, maybe it was Daniel. They were on a sled together. And that picture was in the newspaper the next day, which was kind of cool. I looked around for it. I was trying to find the exact picture. I couldn't find it. But anyway, the photographer had a pretty unusual looking camera. And so I asked him about it. It was a 1.3 megapixel digital camera, one of the first of its kind, including the lens. It cost about $20,000. 1.3 megapixels. Now, to put that in perspective, if you've got an iPhone 10 or newer, your camera has at least 12 megapixels. An iPhone 14 Pro has 48 megapixels. It's incredible the changes in the past couple of decades. We're continuing our series, Trending, this morning. We're talking about those topics that the internet is buzzing about, that Google searches are devoted to, that social media is spewing out every opinion under the sun. In other words, what's trending online today? Now, I only plan on doing this series for about 4 weeks, and Clay has 25% of the four messages, right? And I struggle to kind of nail this down. What are the four topics we want to cover? What are the things that are most relevant? And it seemed like there was just a lot of things. And I already kind of had my direction set for today. The ideas were flowing. I'd been working on things. And then Thursday, I had lunch with a friend of mine who has visited here two or three times with his family. And then right after that, I went into a men's Bible study. And after that lunch and our discussions, and after that Bible study and our discussions, it convinced me that I needed to expand my topic and look at things from a little bit different perspective. I want to talk to you today about change. Some changes that we're hearing about the environment, some changes that we're experiencing in technology, and frankly, some changes that we're seeing when it comes to values today. I settled on this topic when Jim Bailey, in our Bible study, quoted a verse from the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We were talking about the upheaval in our culture today, and he reminded us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it hit me that Jesus is the anchor for the tumultuous times that we're living in. When the winds of change give way to earthquakes of change, there's something comforting about the fact that Jesus Christ never changes. Now, our understanding of him might change, and he might kind of deal with us differently as we grow and we mature, but he is one constant when our lives are turbulent at best and sometimes spinning out of control. Friends, do you want to know what's trending online on social media? Change is. All different kinds of change is trending. And the fact is, some people thrive on change. I mean, they just love it. Bring it on. New, new, new. Other people feel like the bottom has dropped out of their world every time their cell phone updates. Okay, I mean, like you hate change, right? It just rocks your world. Change is making news today. All right, let me give you an example. All right, whether you're a CNN person or you're a Fox News person, how often do you hear people talk about climate change today? How often is that brought up in the classroom or on social media? Is climate change as big a deal as some people say? I can officially tell you, I don't know. I don't know if things are totally different now than they've ever been before and we're on a downward spiral, or I don't know if we are in a cycle of change that's happened in the past and is going to happen again. I don't know. And my guess is you probably don't know either. Now, you might think you know, and you might know. I just don't think you do. We do know that in the New Testament, the Bible says in Romans 8, that creation is groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, that things are not as they should be. And just as humanity struggles with brokenness in the world itself, in many ways, is broken. We should not be surprised that the earth rages through storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and floods. The Bible said that it would. You know, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus foretold that the city of Jerusalem would be violently destroyed, and in 70 AD, it was. And the thing is, Jesus also talked in those passages about the end of the world someday in the future. Some of the apocalyptic language that he used is hard to understand. But he said that things like wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilences would increase. He said there would be signs in the sun, moon, and stars that nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. And I got to be honest with you. It baffles me sometimes that some Christians who are convinced that we are in the last days because of rampant immorality, they're often the same ones who deny climate change, even though the Bible seems to be saying that the earth is going to get worse and worse and the world's going to be more messy as time draws near for Christ to return. It seems to me that climate change would be expected if Jesus was coming back soon. And listen, I'm not saying he's coming back soon. I don't know. Nearly every generation has thought they were living in the last days. And that's probably a good thing to think that way, because that means you're going to be ready. And that's why Jesus was a little bit ambiguous. He told us to be ready at any time. Now, I believe that things have been bad before. From the time of Noah's flood to the downfall of the Roman Empire, from the Dark Ages in Europe to Hitler's rise to power in Germany. The world has seen chaos before, and terror before, and destruction before. And in those cases, at some point, the pendulum swung back, and there was revival in the land of some type. Excuse me, there was the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. There was the Protestant Reformation, the Great Awakening, the Cane Ridge Revival that happened right here in Kentucky in the early 1800s that helped launch the restoration movement that our church is a part of. Times have been bad before. Times of revival have come. It's happened before. It will no doubt happen again. So here's what I believe. With the downward trend that we're seeing today in the world, I believe one of two things will eventually happen. Either the pendulum will swing back and times of renewal will come, or as the Bible says, things will continue to get worse and worse, and then Christ will ultimately return and take us home. Friends, either way, you don't need to be afraid. We do not need to let our lives be dominated by anxiety and uncertainty. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is just as faithful as he has always been. He is just as present with us as he's always been. He is just as dependable today as he has ever been. And so in this kind of first area of change, what's the takeaway for all this talk we hear today about climate change and environmental chaos? Well, some Christians I know kind of have the attitude that since the world's going to be destroyed someday anyway, it doesn't matter how we treat the planet. It reminds me of those people who rent a house and they kind of decide, well, I don't own it. Doesn't matter how I treat it. So they trash it and then they move on. I mean, forgive me for saying so, but that attitude stinks. When God created the world, it says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The very first job God ever gave to human beings was to work the ground and take care of the environment. You know, there's a saying about what the oldest profession in the world is. If you don't know, ask your weird uncle. He'll probably tell you. But anyway, that's not the oldest profession. Caring for the world that God loaned to us is the oldest profession. We read in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God made an incredible universe. It's why I wanted you to see that video earlier, the beauty, the creativity, all that he has made. And yes, the earth is groaning, and it's true that not everything is as it should be, but this amazing planet belongs to the Lord. And he has invited us to live here. He's welcomed us in. We're allowed to thrive here and to make the most of all that he has created. And when we corrupt his creation, whether it's through littering or wasting natural resources, abusing the land and the water that we depend on, we are disrespecting the one who made all this, the one who owns all this. You know, one of the churchy words that we throw around a lot is stewardship. And we talk about how God owns everything and we are just stewards or managers of what he owns. And we talk about that when it comes to money. We talk about that when it comes to our time, even our gifts and abilities that God's blessed us with, that we ought to use them well because we are stewards. But it also goes for this world, that we are stewards of the world. My friend Mo had to be in the hospital recently. He had a stent put in because of kidney stones, and he had just come out from under anesthetic, and he texted me, and he said everything went fine. And I texted back. I said, man, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad you're doing well. I said, I imagine that you're on some pretty serious meds right now. Can I have your truck? And I got a text back that said, this is Donna. No. I mean, you can't blame a guy for trying, right? I mean, I just thought, you know, maybe. Well, I saw him last week, and he had just washed his truck. I said, man, thanks for taking care of my truck. It looks great. Well, it's not my truck, but he's taking care of it for me. I'm convinced of that. We'll figure that out later. Look, the world doesn't belong to us. We need to take care of it for our kids and grandkids, sure, but the Lord of heaven owns it, and we need to treat it well. I just want to say, don't flip out on me here, I just don't know why this is such a political issue. I don't understand. I'm just being honest. It feels to me like, and maybe I'm wrong, it feels like if you're politically conservative, then you're supposed to believe that climate change is dumb. And if you're politically liberal, then you're supposed to believe that we have days to live and the sky is falling. What if we decided that maybe there's people out there who know more than we do? There's people who are trying to sort this out. They're not going to always get it right. And maybe we could just kind of all work together to make the most and the best of this world that we have. Seriously, whether you think climate change is fake news to increase your taxes, or whether the thought of climate change keeps you awake at night, let's just decide we're not going to worry about it, but we're also going to be on the side of just taking care of what God has entrusted to us. If nothing else, for Pete's sake, the water bottles that we give you in the cafe, put them in the green recycle containers. Okay, you'll make me happier. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, it's not that hard. All right, here we go. Besides climate change, here's another change I want to talk to you about. There is a trend that is online like crazy today. And to set it up, I want to show you some pictures of food. Now, food is not the topic, even though some of you feel compelled to show us on Facebook what you had for dinner last night. That's not what we're talking about, okay? I want to show you some food photographs. I want you to try to figure out what these pictures all have in common. Let's go to the first one. Okay? That looks pretty good. Some of you more drawn to one than the other, but it looks pretty good. Let's go to the next one. Okay? There's a couple things there, and let's go to one more. Okay. Any idea what all of those pictures have in common? None of those foods actually exist. Now, I'm not saying they're fake food. They're not real photographs. Those were all generated by AI, by artificial intelligence. There was no photograph there. It was just created. If anything is trending online right now, at least in the stuff that I see coming across my computer screen, it's artificial intelligence. In fact, one of the most popular chatbots right now is an application called ChatGPT. Now, chatbot is sort of like a robot, only it's not really a thing like this. It's an online program that talks to you. ChatGPT launched last November. It had over a million users in the first 5 days. That number is over 100 million now. Last month, the website had 1.6 billion visits. ChatGPT is trending. It'll solve a problem for you. It'll answer a question for you in a human-like manner. And you're thinking, well, what's different talking to that than talking to Siri or Alexa or asking Google a question? Well, according to Andrew Morantz of The New Yorker, he said this: ChatGPT is a form of machine intelligence that can not only organize but expand the world's glut of information, improving itself as it goes, developing skills that are increasingly indistinguishable from shrewdness and ingenuity, and maybe eventually something like understanding. The computers are getting smarter. Sam Altman, the CEO of the company that created ChatGPT, said this: if we're successful, I think this will be the most significant technological transformation in human history. I think it will eclipse the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, and the internet revolution all put together. Now, maybe he's just blowing smoke because he's going to make a whole lot of money as this thing continues to catch on. But I don't hear anybody saying that AI is a passing fad. AI sounds like the internet, the computer who stole your job, and your new best friend kind of all rolled into one. That's how it feels to some people. During the interview, Andrew Morantz asked ChatGPT, interview, to write a few sentences of beautiful prose about something fairly mundane like riding up an escalator. And in seconds, this is what ChatGPT responded with. The metallic teeth of the escalator clinked and clattered beneath my feet as I ascended. Each step, a mechanical symphony. The hypnotic rhythm of the machine was mesmerizing, as if it were a living entity, taking me higher and higher with each passing moment. The cool, sterile air of the shopping center was replaced by the warmth and energy of the crowd around me, all moving with purpose, yet in perfect harmony. Seriously, artificial intelligence is creating art, it's writing poetry, and it's about to get its driver's license. High schools, colleges, and universities are trying to figure out how to keep students from having AI write their research papers. You may be wondering if I wrote this sermon or if ChatGPT did. You want to know how you can tell? It's been proven that ChatGPT sometimes makes mistakes, and it doesn't have a wife named Gail, so you know that it did not write this sermon. Mistakes, come on. Listen, people are wondering, people are worrying today about things like job displacement, security risks with all the information that's out there, the ongoing decline of human interaction. Are we headed for some kind of dystopian, apocalyptic end to civilization as we know it? Ultimately, are computers going to take over the world? I listened to a journalist this week on the radio who interviewed ChatGPT, and he basically said that while it was obvious at times that he was talking to a machine and not a human being, he said the interaction was real enough and the future implications were chilling enough that he found the entire conversation unnerving. The winds of change have given way to earthquakes of change. And that's why I want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, God is in charge of when the world is going to end, not some computer. The Apostle Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. They're like, where's Jesus? He hasn't come back yet. Well, he's not being slow. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Then down in verse 13, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Computers are not going to take over the world and bring an end to life as we know it. God will decide when he's ready to rescue his people and defeat his enemies. And the other thing is that robots and chatbots and any other kind of bots are never going to have the one thing that God reserved for human beings, and that's an eternal spirit. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. What does it mean that we're created in the image of God? What's different about human beings than everything else that God made? Well, surely part of it is emotion, compassion, the ability to experience empathy. We can think and reason and plan. We have complex brains. We build complex social structures. We don't just learn, we also teach. Not to mention the fact that we have opposable thumbs. We got a lot going for us, okay? But those are not the most important thing that makes us different. We have an eternal spirit. The Bible sometimes uses the word soul and spirit interchangeably, but often the two words have a slightly different meaning. Our soul is like the breath of life. It's what animates our bodies. And by that kind of definition, animals have souls too. And the Bible even says that it's they come to life. Their bodies are animated. When they're extinguished, the body dies. The eternal spirit, though, is different than that. It's the one thing we share with God that nothing else in all of creation has. From the moment of conception, we are eternal beings, just like our Father in heaven. And no computer, no matter how advanced, no matter how sophisticated, no matter how well programmed, will ever have the fingerprint of God that you and I do. We may not be as smart as a computer, as quick thinking as a computer, or as alert 24/7, 365 days a year as a computer. But at the end of the day, we will always have a connection with the divine that nothing else on earth will ever share. And it allows us to have intimacy with God and with each other in a unique way. Friends, listen, listen. Change is normal. Change is inevitable. Change is everywhere. Change, I believe, is trending. The only thing about this world that will never change is that things change. It's not just science. It's not just technology. It's not just travel. You know, things like morality and values have shifted at an alarming rate in the past several decades. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. We're going to pick up with some of that next week. But I'm convinced, like many of you are, that character traits, things like integrity, loyalty, courtesy, responsibility, accountability, diligence, compassion, self-control, these things in many circles are in short supply today. Did you ever dream that an armed man would walk into a bank in downtown Louisville and kill 5 people? Can you believe, as of today, April 23rd, there have been more mass shootings in our country this year than there have been days in the year so far? A mass shooting meaning 4 or more people. Now look, it's not all gloom and doom. There are so many good people in the world. The whole reason that's on the news is because it's so contrary to normal. Hardworking people, lots of them. People who have the kind of character we're talking about. People who will treat us the way we want to be treated. But let's be honest, times have changed. A casual search of the internet shows us a level of depravity that many of us never dreamed possible 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's why it's so important that Jesus is our anchor. We need that kind of stability today. There's an interesting passage at the end of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews may have been written by the Apostle Paul. We don't know for sure. But there's a lot in there about how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies and promises of the Old Testament. And at the beginning of chapter 13, right near the end of the book, the author kind of gives us in rapid fire succession all these last minute reminders. Do this, do this, do this, do this. He said, love each other as brothers and sisters. Entertain strangers. Remember those in prison and those being mistreated. Honor marriage and avoid sexual immorality. Don't love money. Be content, not greedy. Remember your leaders. Follow their example. One thing after another. And let's be honest, some of those things are easier to do than others. Some people are easier to follow than others. Certainly they're easier to love than others. Some people are easier to ignore than they are to love or to follow. Some of us, like Hebrews says, struggle with money. Some of us struggle with sex. Some of us struggle with authority and submitting to it. But I don't think anybody would argue that in those few sentences, the author of Hebrews touches on some of the hardest commands in the Bible to obey. And many of those commands are the very things that we see slipping in society today. Things like love each other, avoid sexual immorality, don't be greedy. I mean, those are pastimes to many. We struggle with these things. Listen, it's why I'm so glad that tucked into that passage are some reminders. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. As crazy and messy as the world can be, God is going to be right there. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. We don't have to be controlled by fear. Because he's with us. And then the verse we've already talked about, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You know, we find ourselves on shifting sand, the earth moving underneath our feet, the winds of change have given way to earthquakes of change. It's why it's so great that Jesus doesn't change. Let me give you a bottom line today and we'll wrap up. When change like an earthquake comes, hold on to the one who never changes. It's going to come. When change like an earthquake comes, hold on to the one who never changes. Have you ever been in an earthquake? I'm not necessarily talking about a devastating earthquake. Just any kind of tremor, kind of that slightest shift of ground underneath your feet. In 2008, I was with a group of pastors in Israel, and we were in a gift shop somewhere along the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden, the necklaces on the shelf started to sway back and forth, and it was so disorienting. I thought it was me at first. I'm kind of feeling my head, you know, I'm getting dizzy. What is wrong with me? I didn't realize at first the whole shop was shaking, and then the whole area was shaking. I don't know, maybe the whole country was. It didn't last long. Nobody got hurt. Nothing fell off the shelves. There were no crashes. But I was so unsteady for a little bit after that. The earth is not supposed to do that. Now imagine being in Turkey on February 6th when a 7.8 magnitude earthquake devastated that country. 55,000 people dead. According to their minister of the interior, 2.6 million people living in tent villages, 1.6 million people sleeping next to their homes hoping to rebuild. An event like that is just unfathomable to me. I can't even comprehend what that would be like. And look, some of you today, maybe you feel like you're standing in a gift shop and the necklaces are swaying back and forth. Others of you feel like you're standing in a crater where your house used to be, and you're thinking nothing is ever, ever going to be the same again. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. It doesn't matter what freaks you out right now. It doesn't matter the changes that you have endured or the changes that are just over the horizon. Those things don't matter because on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was with you yesterday. He will be with you today. And I promise you, He will be with you tomorrow. When the change like an earthquake comes into your life, hold on to the one who never changes. Let's pray. Father, the reality is that we live in tumultuous times, and I know we're not the first ones to go through that, but these are kind of unprecedented in some ways. And whether it's something like the environment and trying to sort all that out, whether it's artificial intelligence and some of the kind of cool, exciting things and maybe a little bit terrifying things that that could bring to some people. As we see shifts in cultural attitudes and in values, Lord, these are tumultuous times. Would you remind us, God, that you're over all of that, that you're bigger than all of that, that you are constant in all of the chaos. And whether it's a slight tremor under our feet or we feel like everything's falling off the shelves and the houses are crumbling and we're about to go down, whatever that earthquake of change feels like, Lord, may we cling to you. May we trust you. May we hold on to you, knowing, God, that you are the constant in the chaos, that you are dependable, that you are trustworthy, that we can hold on to you in all things. God, thank you for your word that sustains us. Thank you for your church that encourages us. May we unite together to stand firm when all the ground around us seems to be shaking. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. It's in your name we pray. Amen.